Welcome to episode 115 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live February 22, 2019. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure, and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. Today, we discuss Microsoft's recent Office 365 versus Office 2019 commercials, some recent outages across both Office 365 and Azure, as well as a couple of new updates around Office 365. How are you today, Scott?
I have coffee.
All right, there's two Office apps, My Office and Office. So what's the difference between My Office and Office?
I have no clue. I'll let you know if I ever get signed into these two things.
So this is related to the new announcements, or the new announcement, the general availability. New Office app for Windows 10 is now available to everyone with an asterisk. I can't say that word.
It was really weird. So I kind of went and read the article and it said, yeah, it's kind of available to everyone, but it's not. But then when you go into the Windows Store, it says it is updated. So you can launch it. But if you just go to your start menu and like I launched it and it came up as My Office, the old app. And then when I went into the store, it didn't have an update, but I hit launch from the store and then it opened just the Office app and it renamed the start menu item. I don't get it. But anyway, it works and it comes up, but it's nice and pretty and it has all the new logos and things like that. But I'm still a little lost as to why someone might need this, because it's a progressive web app. It's just the Office, effectively a wrapper for the Office homepage. You know, you just go to office.com and you sign in and you see that page with your documents and your OneDrive and SharePoint sites and all that good kind of stuff. That's exactly what this app is.
I'm on a Mac, so I just have not played with it or looked at it or done anything with it, but I see the same thing. Like looking at the screenshots, I'm like, that's portal.office.com.
It is. It's a PWA, so it's a wrapper for that experience with a couple of, well, not even really a couple of things thrown on top of it. It is the app, right? It'll recognize, just like when you're on the web, because you're effectively in a web view, you're in a web browser at this point, click on a PowerPoint file. And if you have PowerPoint installed, it will launch PowerPoint. If you don't have PowerPoint installed, it will just open Office web apps and do all that kind of stuff.
I was looking through the announcement. It says something about customizing the user experience with branding. Does this like the only thing you can do? Because you can't really customize portal.office.com that I'm aware of.
Outside of the sweet bar and things like that.
Right. Like, can you customize this app more somehow? I don't know. I'm with you. I don't really understand what the purpose of it is.
It doesn't look that way for the homepage and things like that, but you might be able to do some branding on maybe something like Explore Your Apps, where it's taking you into your list of applications that are assigned to you or registered in your tenant's Azure Active Directory. But who knows? It might even be that maybe you have to go into office.com, like into the portal, and maybe customize your branding over there. So, you know, you go ahead and sign into office.com. Maybe you'll have options to customize that page a little bit more with a background or something like that. Maybe that's where corporate branding will come in. It's really not clear from the announcement how they intend to do all that.
And it's kind of interesting because you go look through the announcement and towards the bottom, they have a video, but the video isn't about showing the Office app or how to use the Office app or what advantage it brings. It's how progressive web apps work. And then like 5 minutes in,
yes, it is.
There's a highlight of Office apps. So it's almost like this is, hey, we have progressive web apps. We can build them. This is how you build them. And because we didn't know what else to build for a sample or a demo, we built this Office app using progressive web apps to kind of show an example of a progressive web app. I don't know. Maybe this is marketing for progressive web apps.
Maybe. A hero demo that came out and went out the other side.
We could talk about other marketing too. Should we talk about other marketing?
Sure. Let's do it.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. Office 2019, don't buy it. It's terrible, says Microsoft.
Yeah, so they have I would classify it or categorize it as an interesting advertising campaign.
Yes.
And I would kind of just stop right there. I don't know.
Oh, no, you don't want to stop there. You really want to keep going, don't you?
I don't know that it would go much further than that. It's a thing. So yeah, somebody in marketing decided that they really needed a way to show off features of the click-to-run versions of Office. So Office 365 CDAR, which is still Office. It's just that different version that comes when you're in the evergreen, always moving at the speed of the cloud version of Office.
Yep.
And then Office 2019 or retail or MSI, kind of whatever we want to call it today, because I can't keep straight what Microsoft is calling it at this point. But how do you show off the differences between those two things? And I would maybe think of that as, you know, let's show them as islands where we can let them kind of shine in their own light. So let's show how Office Click to Run works really well with Office 365, and maybe not even mention Office 2019, right? We'll kind of talk about how they work together and get along nicely. But somebody at Microsoft Marketing decided that wasn't the way to go about things. A better way to show you the differences and help you make a decision about which one to buy is to do a bake-off between Office 365 CDR and Office 2019. And in that bake-off, we'll always have Office 2019 look bad. So buy our products, but don't buy our products because they're trashy. It's kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah, it was almost like the old I'm a Mac and I'm a PC only. It was I'm Office 2019 and I'm Office 365. And they did. They essentially said, hey, if you go buy Office 365, you can do all this cool stuff. It's so much better. You can do it faster. And Office 2019 is just clunky and old and doesn't work very well for some of these tasks you want to do. It's a bizarre marketing campaign.
it's a thing. I mean, there's what, 4 or 5 videos that they put out about it, and it just kind of takes you down this weird rabbit hole. The scenarios kind of campy, right? They have twins sit down and maybe we'll have 2 college students talk about a project that they need to do for college and how do they execute that. And just once it gets outside of that part, it's what is going on?
Obviously, they've been pushing Office 365. I think internally they would love to get rid of Office 2019, and maybe this is their attempt at painting their own product in a bad light so people no longer want those boxed every 3-year versions. I guess that's one way to kill your own product, right?
Yeah, it's I don't know.
Yeah, we can move on. We need to come up with something positive in here because our next one isn't very good either.
No? What's the next one? Let's just keep digging.
Let's just keep going.
I got a shovel. Like if we dig deep enough, like at which point do we bust through the mantle? And yeah,
I know. I'm sorry. We really are trying not to make this a negative show, but it's been a bad streak. Teams was out. So after all of our Azure AD outages, since like September, I think, they started, they had a whole bunch of them, kind of September, October, November, December. Everything was going good. And then Teams said, oops, something went wrong the other day. So everybody got to work on, I think it was, Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday? I can't remember which day it was.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, it was like, it's the 22nd.
It was Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday? Yes, February 18. There you go. The date's right in our notes. I should actually read our notes. So February 18 at 8 o'clock a.m. UTC, it started. It only, 8 to 6 p.m. UTC? So reality is it still went on for 10 hours that they were having intermittent issues. And nobody could log into Teams. And it was kind of bizarre. So if you were logged into Teams already, everything worked great. If you were using a mobile device, iPad, iPhone, Android, you could log into Teams and use it. But the desktop version of Teams wouldn't let anybody log in. It just kept telling you, oops, something went wrong. And you were kind of stuck with that. So with all the push Microsoft has had to Teams, you really don't want a 10-hour outage. And they actually had trouble finding what it was. At first, they tried rerouting traffic to some healthy infrastructure. That didn't work. And it sounds like eventually the preliminary root cause was that there was an error with one of the updates that was causing issues when the front-end Teams service would try to access your password store keys and authenticate you. Fortunately, it sounds like it wasn't actually an Azure AD or an issue with the backend authentication, but it was more of an issue with how Teams was communicating with that backend authentication service to actually log people in.
Yeah, but you can usually tell when you walk into one of these things of, is it an authentication issue? Is it some other infrastructure issue? You know, where does it dial in on my end? Because immediately you can go, well, the person next to me is still signed in and they're saying, what do you mean? You can't join the meeting. That just came up. Well, they can't join the meeting, but you can because you were already signed in for the day and you were all set and ready to go.
Yeah. The other bizarre thing about this was Teams was down, and that was the only thing that came out. But while Teams was down, I had a browser session open where I had already logged into the admin center to portal.office.com. I started getting errors there where the service was just unavailable. I could not access portal.office.com. I couldn't access admin.microsoft.com. It was just throwing a constant error of service not available. I can get anywhere. I started a conversation on Twitter with some people. And since it's the cloud, you can't reboot your computer. So we rebooted our browsers because I wasn't the only one seeing this. And rebooting the browser, relogging in, everything came back up and started working. So I don't know if in the process of fixing this, they were invalidating tokens or doing something with the backend that was causing you not to be able to access some of those other Office services. And again, rebooting the browser, logging out, logging back in, running in incognito mode seemed to fix it. But I saw one of the guys I was talking to did that. Everything was working. And then like an hour or so later, it all broke for him again. So it seems like, well, they didn't say a whole lot about it. There was something going on with the whole, I don't know, it still feels like there was more going on with the authentication backend. Maybe they don't really want to say that because of how flaky it's been the last few months, but I don't know. They've got to figure out something with keeping these up a little bit more.
Not knowing what's going on, it kind of puts the transient in transient air. You know, yeah. When you go back and read RCAs and things like that. We've talked about RCAs for Azure and Office and things in the past. And I'm always impressed by the Azure Teams RCAs. I haven't been too impressed with some of these RCAs that are coming out about some of these SaaS services, particularly Office 365, because if you're going to be pinned into a product like Teams, like, yeah, it's going to have outages. You know, I'm not going to get on my soapbox and say like, oh, you know, there's nothing else that doesn't have outages. Like Slack goes down all the time.
Right. Everything has outages.
It is a thing that happens, and you kind of plan, you prepare, you get yourself to where you need to be. Like, okay, that's all good. Not a problem there. It really is more about helping me understand what you are going to do as a provider of a service that I purchased from you, right? Like, how do we move forward and how do you fix this in the future? And then how do I position myself to be in a better place with that? So when your stuff does go down, because we should plan for it too, right? It's part of the SLA in the service. Like, what are we going to do? What am I going to have to communicate to my users? How does that all manifest itself in me taking a service that I purchased from you and then delivering a service to my user community? Because that's kind of the way I think about stuff like Office 365 is if you're in an organization and you've got 10 users or 10,000, you're effectively reselling Microsoft stuff to all those people. So you've got to be prepared to communicate and explain and push all that stuff downstream. I wish they were a better partner about some of that stuff sometimes, and they were better at recognizing what that relationship is and what that needs to be.
Yeah, we should do an episode on that because I was talking to another buddy of mine who is, he's not in IT, but he uses Office 365 where he works. And they were like, Teams is down. What are we supposed to do? And I was like, well, yeah, Teams is down. Obviously, you can't have some of the meetings and chats, but all your files are in SharePoint. So you could still go through SharePoint to get to files. But do an episode on how users can help protect themselves against cloud outages. Like, what do you do in MFA to protect against MFA outages for different services going on? That would be kind of an interesting discussion.
We can talk about it.
We don't have to do it now.
Let's plan on doing it, because I think it's worth having the conversation. And I've got to think of some ways not to be flippant about it and just say, that's what it is. Because there's better answers than that. It's going to require a little bit of nuance, though.
we're going to have to put some thought into that one.
Yeah, we're going to sound like salespeople a little bit for that one.
Yeah, probably. But I think it's important. Like you said, when there is outages, there's going to be outages, whether it's internet outages, whether it's cloud service outages, you got to prepare for it.
Yeah.
As the leading global brand for enabling the Microsoft Cloud, Obsgility's global Microsoft MVP and multi-certified cloud solutions architect team has authored over 20 mock courses, the Microsoft Pressbook Implementing Azure Solutions 70-533, and numerous Microsoft Cloud Practice Playbooks for Microsoft partners. And for a limited time, you can get your team certified in the most exciting cloud business today with a 25% discount off instructor-led training prep courses for Azure and Microsoft 365. Visit obsgility.com/Microsoft Cloud to learn more. That's OPSGILITY.com/Microsoft Cloud.
On to happy news. Should we talk about happy news, or do you have more?
I think we can rant a little bit more about outages.
Okay.
And talk a little bit about this world of where maybe differentiators come into play, right? I mentioned how I like some things that the Azure teams do with RCAs, but I don't like everything they do. I'm a complainer. I just want to be a curmudgeon, like, get off my cloud.
Cynical by nature.
Yes. There were some things that happened this week as well with the back-end telemetry services inside of Azure. So there's monitoring and telemetry services that do things like collect metrics from the resources you deploy, and then you need to be able to surface those metrics inside something like Azure Monitor, Log Analytics, or another kind of operational tool set. And maybe you want to do things like surface alerts based on that. So I have a storage account that went down. Well, that's not a good thing because my application that I wrote depends on it. I would really like to be alerted to that so I can figure out if I need to fail over or do whatever. So yep. What do you do when the back end of the system goes down that supplies you your alerts? That's kind of one side of it. And the other side of it is, like, how do you know there was an outage? So normally what I would do for an Azure service is I would go to the Azure status page. So there's kind of the public status page, which I think we've talked about in the past, but it gives you kind of global health. And then there's the actual service health of the resources you deploy within Azure itself. So Microsoft knows within your subscriptions, here's the things you've actually turned on. So that's all well and good. So normally you would go into service health, or you would go into status, and you would know where that stuff is. And one of the RSS feeds that you and I watch is this big monster feed that just comes out of the tech community. And it's basically kind of every article, you know, that's published across any blog in the tech community just gets dumped into this all feed.
Sometimes they migrate like 900 old articles into this feed too, and it just destroys our RSS feed.
Sometimes they do things like that. But
side topic.
As I was kind of hitting mark all as read on some of those articles from 2006 that were being migrated into tech community, thanks Microsoft.
Yes.
There was a couple of things that popped up from this blog for Azure Monitor status. So like I said, Azure Monitor is kind of the single pane of glass to go in and get this operational data. It's how you interact with metrics. It's kind of your jumping point to maybe interact with logs and log analytics. It's where you go to get your service health and your resource health. And it was really weird. So there's this Azure Monitor status blog, and all these articles started popping up in there about outages in Azure Monitor and outages in Log Analytics. I'm like, huh, that's kind of a strange thing, because if the monitor's down, how are you going to get alerts from monitor? How do you get an alert that the alerting system is down? And the answer is you don't. So that's not a good thing. And I'm kind of like seeing these articles come through, and I do hop over to Azure status, right, to the proper global service health, and there's nothing there for it. It's like, well, you know, I recognize based on the way they work on these things that you might not see it for a little while because they're focused on fixing the problem, right? They don't always have time to go and write a blog post and update a blog because they're trying to action the issue. And that's a good thing. That's where you want to be and what you want to have to happen. But just waiting over a couple of days, even, some of this stuff just never showed up in Azure status. There were these extended outages where things like log analytics, depending on where your tenancy was hosted and which region or geo you had deployed into, you could have been down for log analytics as long as 20 hours. And not down for query, but maybe down for like alerting on the back end. So that's not a good thing.
No.
How were you as a customer supposed to know that there's this thing called the Azure Monitor Status blog, and this is the only place that it was written to? And this is the only place that RCAs are published for this service. Like, why is this stuff not on the main Azure status? And it's not, it needs to be published over there. I'm just so annoyed by this one because customers rely on the back-end services like this so heavily that Microsoft does a real disservice to them by not pushing this information over there. That's the one place it does belong. Like, this does not belong on the hidden blog on Tech Community.
Yeah, well, I wonder, do they use Azure Monitor to monitor Azure and update that status page? Is this one of those where it can't update that if it's down? Because, you know what I mean? It's kind of like the whole Amazon thing or the AWS thing they had when they couldn't update their status page because the region that hosted their status page was down, or all the icons?
There's a little bit of that, but the hosting infrastructure is up. It's been running the whole time. This was more like the back-end alerting system went down, right? So there's no reason that you can't go just push some text. If you can push it to a blog, you can sure as heck like find a way to push it out to the actual status.
Just go do a manual update if you have to.
Or find a way to communicate with your customers. Because I was talking to a bunch of folks internally, and we're, you know, we go back and forth on our daily calls. It's like, hey, did anybody know there was a 20-hour outage for alerts yesterday in log analytics? And it was like, huh? No, I never heard of that. Like, how would we even know about that? Well, it's going to be a pretty tough thing.
There's a fair amount of blog posts out here.
That's the other thing that was interesting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's like 30 blog posts out here about different issues since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So the last 2 months.
And if I go back just a week, right? So we're at the 22nd now. It's February 22nd. If I go back to February 2013 or February 13th, so we're only talking 9 days, there's been one post every day for a different issue or a resolution to an issue that took a couple days to get to you, things like that. And again, it really ticks me off. Like, none of this stuff is actually over on the status side of the world. So I understand it might be noisy, but like, this is the stuff that I want to know as a customer because it impacts me. Like, this isn't just, oh, you know, my user can't sign in and then they can sign in. This is like your ongoing operations and the bedrock of how you've established your service offering on top of Azure. Like, you got to find a way to do that better.
We've talked about it before. There's like the Microsoft 365 status Twitter account that I follow for some of the Office 365 stuff. But we were even talking as we were going in and looking at some of these, like the Teams root cause. There's not even a central place to just go find root cause analysis for the entire Microsoft cloud, as some of these things even get tied closer and closer together. You look at the overlap sometimes between Office 365 and Azure and how an Azure AD outage affects Office 365 or various Azure services that Teams relies on. I think we've covered it in one of our other episodes, where there's like 22 different Azure services that are leveraged by Microsoft Teams. There should be a central place you can go to see the Microsoft cloud status. What's up? What's down? Where can I go find my root cause analysis? I want that one central place that has all of that information. And it just doesn't exist right now.
And I would amend that statement slightly. That one place, if they ever get to that point and they can make that happen, it needs to be public. It can't be hidden behind a message center or something else like that. So the Teams outage, great. You've got whatever it is, like MSFT 365 status that you can follow on Twitter. And it says, all right, here's the message ID in the message center. What if I don't have access to the message center because I'm not the admin, but I want to know like what's going on and when I'm going to be up, right? Maybe I'm just the guy or the person at a location who is trying to run my business on top of Teams and my users can't chat with each other. So now stuff isn't happening in the warehouse. Is that an IT thing or is that just me trying to figure out ways to do my business better? I shouldn't be gated behind some weird authenticated system that I can't even search for the stupid ID in the message center once I'm in there, right? I just got to browse through and until I hopefully find it, if it got published to my tenant.
Yeah, right.
Good luck.
I had the issue where they kept saying go to the message center to see the update on the Teams issue, but I kept getting that service unavailable when I tried to go to the admin center, which also meant I couldn't get to the message center. So I was like, go see the message center. And I'm like, I can't. The message center's down.
It's not a thing that actually exists.
Doesn't do me a lot of good right now because the service is unavailable. Anyways. Yeah, I feel like they could definitely do some work around some of those, like we've kind of said, some of the monitoring, some of the reporting. It's a little bit of a cynical up.
Yeah, I just hope that over time that they continue to improve and work on that. So I think more communication is always better than less, especially when you have very needy customers or just customers who want to be in the know and feel educated. You might feel as a back-end reliability engineer or the person at Microsoft that, well, customers don't need to know this stuff, but honestly, that's really not your decision to make. Like, give the data to the customers as long as it's not giving away proprietary information or it's going to lead you to being in a further compromised position or whatever. But just give your customers access to the data. They might not know what to do with it, and that's okay. Maybe you have to educate them a little bit more or whatever. But at least they'll feel like you're communicating with them and that they do have a little bit of power. Because the more this stuff happens and the more you transition over to cloud-hosted workloads like this, you just get this sense as you talk to people and you go through forums or you run these services for yourselves, right? Like you help customers run these services, the customer feels powerless, you feel powerless, and it's just not a great place to be.
I agree, and it's hard. Again, I'm not turned into a little bit of a cynical episode, but Microsoft, what they're doing, I wouldn't want to try to do it, but there's definitely some ways they need to improve around some of that, letting the customers know what's going on. And hopefully these outages get less and less. Again, it's been a bad 3 or 4 months. I've had people, again, that are be like, you know what? I'm starting to doubt the wisdom of going to the cloud because it's been up and down for the last 4 months. Again, hopefully they get better. They're learning from each of these. It's growing. The cloud is huge. It cannot be an easy task to keep this all updated and make sure these outages are minimized, but there's definitely some improvements that could be made as well. PowerShell is a fantastic tool for your daily tasks as an IT pro. Wouldn't it be great if you could take PowerShell to the next level? With ScriptRunner, you manage and develop your scripts in a central place, monitor all PowerShell activities, securely delegate scripts to help desk users and others. ScriptRunner automatically creates a web interface with no additional coding. ScriptRunner is the leading all-in-one solution for PowerShell. You're going to the Microsoft Ignite Tour in Amsterdam? Drop by and visit ScriptRunner's booth for free popcorn, a poster, and a chat.
Let's close on a semi-positive note and talk about some of the things that are happening in support for Office 365 around things like ticketing and when you put in a support request and some improvements that are going to come there, right? So it's not all Debbie Downer. Like, yes, they do work and they do kind of move these things forward a little bit.
Yeah, and this was one, I was happy to see this because there were a couple updates in here that I really liked. Well, there was one in particular, but they are updating support tickets to Office 365. A bunch of new features coming. Full page ticket history is one. Now you'll be able to review all the communications with support directly from the admin center. This is nice. Some resolution step updates. The big one I like is they now have some callback scheduling. This has been one of my biggest beefs with support is you can go in, you can fill out a ticket, I'll put in, hey, this is my time zone, maybe I want a callback, and then they call back at like 10 p.m. and I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'm not even at my computer right now.
That whole random email thing where it's like, did you read my ticket? Or did you just send me an email and say, I'm going to be your service engineer. Here's the scope. Do you agree on the scope? Can we move forward? You know, usually that part, like if you're not a, you know, a customer with Premier support where you can kick things through a TAM and really get it kickstarted, you lose anything from like 4 hours to respond to the ticket, maybe up to like 24, just to turn it all around and send those emails back and forth and say, okay, now we're ready to start working on it because we've come to an agreement.
Right. Or even those, like, you get those phone calls and then they leave you a message and say, I'm going to send you an email. And it's like, I was sleeping. It's no wonder I didn't answer the call. But now you have callback scheduling. So you can go in and request a call from support at a specific time. So this would be really nice. It's like, you know what? This isn't a super critical issue. I'm in the middle of some other stuff right now. Can you give me a call back in 2 hours or 3 hours? Or it's the end of the day. Can you just give me a call back tomorrow morning? Or maybe for me, sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm opening this ticket at 4:30. I'm going to go have dinner. I'm going to put the kids to bed. Can you call me back at 9 o'clock tonight once they're in bed? So that ability to do callback scheduling now in support tickets will be really nice. You can also have define your case severity now. So they have Premier, A, B, and C, and then unified, critical, non-critical. So helping to better define those, how severe your ticket is, to help them classify it, adjust their response time, hopefully. Kind of like you said, maybe now we can say, hey, this is Premier A. When I open the ticket, I need a callback right away because nobody can get to their team's client, or my Azure AD got all hosed up and something's going on. Being able to define that case severity, that'll be big. And they increased the character limit. I honestly have no idea what it was before, but now you can type up to 2,500 characters in a description of your ticket. So hopefully you can better define it, which can help as they try to solve it. So those are some of the big updates. It looks like they're going to try to bring some intelligent self-service solutions. I thought this was already kind of there because I've seen it before where you go in and you want to open a ticket and then they surface a bunch of, well, here's some other solutions for similar tickets. Do one of these meet your need, or do you still need to open up a new ticket? So they are doing a bunch of updates around the support tickets for Office 365 to really help enrich that experience and hopefully give you some quicker resolutions, more communication, just more visibility into that process of your support ticket from the opening to the closing of it, and improve that experience for you. I know there have been complaints about Office 365 support in the past. Hopefully, this will maybe help alleviate some of those, give you some more visibility into that whole process.
Visibility is good, right? This is moving forward in, I don't know if it's meaningful, but semi-meaningful ways about support and what needs to happen there.
Look for that to roll out. I did not see a link for this. We'll see if we can find one to include in the show notes.
Or even just a message center ID or things like that, just to...
Yeah, I have the message center ID for it because that's where this one showed up, was in the message center back... I don't have my message center open anymore. Back, it was February 19, 20. It was 2 or 3 days ago from when we're recording this on the 22nd. So go look through your message center if you need to find this from, yeah, February 17, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that time frame.
Perfect.
All right. Well, with that, we should call it a day and go get on with our normal work.
Let's do it. Yeah, I got to go rant about some other cloudy things with some other cloudy people.
All right, go rant. I got to go get some projects done.
All right, thanks, Ben.
All right, talk to you later, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.